Our text for today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 4 to 17, and can be found on page 2 in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the fields was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life is also in the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The name of the first is Pishon. It is one that flows around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flows around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to worship together, and please give us ears to hear where your spirit is leading this morning as we dig a little deeper into your word. Amen. So it's the day after Thanksgiving, and most of you were probably sitting around a table a few nights ago, maybe doing that awkward thing where you have to go around the table saying one thing you're grateful for this year. And if you're anything like me, you probably were not paying attention to what other people were saying as they were going around, because you were too busy trying to think of something to say when it was your turn. And while you were doing that, you might have had some thoughts of stuff you weren't exactly thankful for this year. Maybe things you wish you had but didn't, or things you don't have that you wish you did. And of course, you pushed those thoughts aside and said something great that God has done in your life this year. But in that moment, when you're thinking about these things, you kind of are reminded that life is a mixed bag. There's stuff that we wish were different. There are things in our lives that are not perfect. And it just goes to show that we have limitations as human beings. Every single person in this room has something that they could be better at, that they don't have, maybe they wish they did. For me, my limitation is public speaking. If you told me a few years ago I would be up here having a one-sided conversation with a few hundred people, not once, but in two services, I would be totally freaked out, screaming, avoiding eye contact with absolutely everybody. Just, wow, bag of nerves. And that's because I will never be the next John Wesley or Jonathan Edwards who can preach without a microphone to people outdoors, just crowds everywhere. No. But I try my best and work within what I have. Maybe your limitation is the inability to sing as well as Adele, or maybe you can't swim as well as Michael Phelps, no matter how many lessons you had as a kid. Or maybe you are single and wish you were in a relationship, or you're looking for your dream job that just seems so out of reach, no matter how hard you try. Or maybe you're dealing with a physical or mental disability or illness. All these things are serious and should not be trivialized, but they remind us that our lives are far from perfect. We have things that limit us. And we shouldn't be surprised about this. Our passage today is from Genesis 2, the Garden of Eden. And this Garden of Eden is the epitome of unity and paradise with God. Yet in this garden, there is a tree smack dab in the middle that we have no access to, that is forbidden, that we can't have. And just to remind you, this is Genesis chapter 2. This is before the fall, before the other drama that takes up 1,000 pages of the Bible. This is Eden, which means fullness, plenty, and abundance. Yet in this land of abundance and plenty and fullness, there is something that we can't have. There is that tree of knowledge of good and evil that is just forbidden for us to be part of. And this tells us that creation has a tragic flaw. There is the potential for suffering, the potential for disobedience and temptation woven into the fabric of our human nature. And just like Adam and Eve, there are countless other trees, fruitful trees in the garden, but we choose to stake our tent under the one thing that we can't have. So why do we do that? Is it a pride thing? Do we want what we think we deserve, which is, let's be real, everything, rather than what we need? Paradise in Eden isn't meant to have it all, and neither are we. Some people might ask why God would put a forbidden tree in the Garden of Eden to begin with. I think a better way to phrase that would be, why would God give us limitations to start with? That doesn't make sense, right? And the truth is, we are not gods. We are receivers. We don't achieve what we have. We receive it from God's goodness and God's grace. Listen to these phrases from the reading from today. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. God gave us life. We did not create ourselves into existence. God planted a garden in Eden. God created this garden. God created the world. God created everything that we have. God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. God places us in his creation to be stewards of it and to take care of it. Now, in all these quotes, we realize that God is always the subject, the one doing the action, and humans are always the predicate. You all took like fifth grade grammar, right? Predicate, the receiving end of the subject. God is the one acting on us all the time. Even our labors and responsibilities are a commissioned gift from God. How often do we mistake being the stewards of what God has given us with being the ones who planted the garden in the first place? All this to say that sometimes we focus too much on the gift and not enough on the gift giver. If we were to lose everything we had right now, would we still be able to thank God? Do we want life from God's own hand, or do we want to make it for ourselves? Adam and Eve took a bite from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that was the beginning of their separation from God. That was the beginning of realizing that, oh, we can be individuals apart from God. And not much has changed since then. We still think that we can live apart from God's hand, that we can achieve things for ourselves if we work hard enough, try hard enough. But just remember that when Adam walked in the garden, the greatest gift was that he walked with God. And that is because we have all we need with God. The greatest gift that God could possibly give us is not financial security or relationships that we cherish, as important as those are. But the greatest gift he could possibly give us is the gift of himself. Craig Barnes is the president of Princeton Seminary, and in one of his books, he talks about what it means to be receivers of God's grace rather than achievers of our own lives and destinies. And in it, he talks about this idea of Axis Mundi. Mundi means world, and Axis is kind of what makes your world go round, sort of thing. And this is what he says. A disaster is anything that makes us feel like the stars are falling down. The late University of Chicago theologian Mircea Eliade claimed that all religions are centered on an axis mundi, or a sacred pole that keeps earth connected to heaven. This can be a totem pole, the center pole of the tribal hut, a temple, or the cross of the Christians. Whenever there is a disaster, no matter how personal or global in scope, people rush to their axis mundi to ensure that the heavens are not collapsing on top of them. If they think for one moment that they have been abandoned by their sacred pole, they're plunged into enemy and chaos. In other words, your axis mundi is what tethers you to your life, what you run to when everything else is going wrong and you need to feel safe. You need that stability. And so often we mistake our axis mundi for something that God has given us, one of our temporary gifts in life. For example, if you're married, maybe your axis mundi is your spouse. But as we all know, when people get divorced or pass away, there goes your axis mundi. You don't know what to do with yourself. And really, all this goes to show that God is the only one who can possibly be what tethers us to our lives, because he is the gift giver, not the gift. He will always be the same, always be steadfast, always be there, no matter what can possibly go wrong in your life. In fact, St. John of the Cross is a person who lived in the 16th century, and he was in prison at one point and talked about, in his book called The Dark Night of the Soul, he talked about this idea of praying faithfully for God to let you lose everything you have so that you can realize that all you really need in life is God. And if you don't actually lose everything you have, you lose the meaning that the stuff is attached to. And while you're going through that, you may feel like you're losing everything, even God, but really what you're losing is your instrumental use for God, your attachment to God as the person who gives you stuff. And when you realize this, you are able to be happier and live with joy, because you realize that everything that we have is a blessing that comes and goes. It can come, it can go, and it can be replaced by new things. We receive those things with open hands because we know that God is the steadfast gift giver who will always stay the same no matter what else changes in our lives. We are limited creatures, and so is everything that we have. Loved ones and friends pass away. Time is fleeting. Money comes and goes. Even the periods of our lives are fleeting, and they don't stay as long as we wish they would. You might remember when you were a kid and you would go to your parents' room and you were scared at night and cuddle up with them. And then all of a sudden you were that parent who was the safety for your own little kid when they were scared at night. Even our talents and gifts and places we live, everything that we go through in life is temporary and fleeting. Like I said, today is the first Sunday after Thanksgiving, and most of us probably thought about gratitude more than we would any other week. And rightfully so, because there is so much to be grateful for in our lives. But just have this perspective when you think about what you're grateful for. If we are tethered to what we are given rather than to who has given it, then we will always feel like there is a hole in our lives, a gaping tree we will have to walk past every day but can't have. But know this, God owns the garden of our lives. Even what we can't have inside of it belongs to God. Accept the garden God has given you, because that is a gift. And I will close with this. In the end, we weren't meant to have it all, but we have it all with God. Amen.